Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Wixom, Michigan, and earned a finance degree from Central Michigan University. A member of the Michigan House of Representatives, he was elected Speaker of the House in 2005, at age 34, making him the youngest Speaker in Michigan history. In 2010, he was arrested twice on suspicion of being intoxicated. He now admits to having a drinking problem since the age of 10. At peace with himself for the first time in his life, his name, Craig DeRoche. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
On this Mother's Day evening, first, a special shout-out to all the moms tonight. The great job you do, arguably the greatest vocation there is in the world. And our guest tonight is the former Speaker of the House, youngest ever at 34, Craig DeRoche. Craig, welcome. An honor to have you.
It's great to be on the show, Jack. Thanks for having me here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
I will. And happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you. And what a special tribute you did by starting the show there. That's where the priority is. My parents still married, still live in the area, still have a grandma of my own still alive at the young age of 97 years old, years young, big Red Wings, big Detroit Tigers fans. She doesn't miss many games. So a lot of family all in the area. My mom was a doting mother and loved me very much. We're going to talk about some things on this show about some choices I made in my life and direction I took, but it wasn't from lack of love in the household. I think the message for the moms today is how much that we appreciate them and appreciate my wife and the job she's doing as a mom. But unfortunately, there isn't any moms that are going to be able to raise perfect children, not a one of them. But they're certainly going to keep trying. So God bless them for what they do.
What's the biggest thing, Craig, you learned from your mom? And what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
Oh, that's a great question. From my mom, I learned that anything is possible. Actually, the title of your show, that I could do anything I wanted in this world. She would drive that home with me and remind me that anything is possible. And I believe that. I came to believe it because she would always point it out and she would demonstrate it in her own way. And from my dad, I learned how to work hard, and I learned how to be responsible and actually work toward accomplishments. He kept a good home He always made sure that we were moving forward as a family.
Craig DeRoche, what were you like as a kid?
Now, that's the interesting part of your interview here. I think I was a good kid. My mother would tell you, I never had to yell at Craig. I never had to correct him about anything. And maybe the reason why is I knew if I followed the rules here and I plugged in and I did what I was supposed to do, then I had this freedom that I had to do whatever I wanted with my friends. And that's what I did. I stayed out of trouble. I stayed away from the things that would have made my mom or dad mad. I think I was a pretty good kid when I was around the house.
You earned a finance degree from Central Michigan University. And then in 2002, at the age of 31, you get elected to the Michigan House of Representatives. How did that ever happen?
You know, that's an interesting question because I take a different look at that. When I look back at the political offices I did and the involvement I had over the past 20 years, I scratch my head and I say, I wonder how I got the fellowship to be in the Michigan Political Leadership Program when I was 21, along with Kenny Cockrell Jr. and Tom Watkins and Aaron Payment and some other leaders. I wonder how I got on the Novi City Council. Nobody ran against me when I did that. They withdrew from the race, including an incumbent. withdrew from the race rather than run against me. And when I ran for state rep, nobody ran against me. And when I ran for speaker, nobody ran against me. So I don't know what it is, Jack, about me, but nobody, after a certain point, after 1996, wanted to run against me anymore. And I had a pretty clear shot.
How much did you spend when you ran that race for speaker?
Well, I've always been able to raise and spend more money than my opponents. It's not because I considered it buying elections. It's because I'm a sales guy. So if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to do it right. So I would go out and I'd talk to my friends and I'd try to make sure I had the money to communicate my message. And so I think when I was speaker, those are the numbers I know best, that we I think we raised about close to $7 million for that election in 2006. So a lot of money. That was for the whole House, though, all the different races.
A lot of people, as they get more along in their chapters in life, decide they want to do some public service, get into politics. You got in very, very young. Where did you get that spark from?
You know what? It came from a conversation. I didn't know the impact it was going to have on my life, but it was with Governor Bill Milliken. And I was working on a campaign just for money when I was a college student. And Governor Milliken was helping out with the campaign. And he cornered me for some reason, me and this other kid that were college students. And he said, don't ever grow so cynical in your life to think that individuals don't make a difference. Everybody makes a difference in their own way. Every big decision, no matter how big it's been in the history of this world, was done by individuals that were in the room that advocated things. And he gave us a number of examples, from the bottle bill to recycling to the drinking age to the speed limits. And that kept pulling me back. And as people asked me to be involved and tap me and said, you should be this, you should run, you should do this, I kept growing into it. But it wasn't always my own ambition.
Arguably, Craig, every great thing in the history of the world started in the mind, the heart of one human being.
That's right.
Committees don't make that happen. What did the experience of serving in the Michigan House of Representatives from 03 to 09 teach you?
Boy, that taught me a lot. And I guess I'll just start with one point, and that is everything can be improved, no matter how proud people are of their accomplishments, whether they be 2 years ago, 5, 10, 30 years ago. Our society is changing so much, and that the government exists to serve the people, not the people to fund the government. And we're still having the debates that we needed to have as we speak in the newspapers this morning, Jack, that we can't do things like we did in the 70s, 80s, 90s, or even 3 or 4 years ago. We've got to move forward and innovate here in Michigan. And I learned that firsthand in the House.
We're talking to Craig DeRoche, who became the Speaker of the House in 2005 at age 34, the youngest speaker in the history of Michigan. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back with Craig DeRoche, who's got a non-for-profit. The website, www.12s.org. Craig, let's go back to 5:30 p.m., February 9th, 2010, Saline, Michigan.
So, fun day. Say that sarcastically. All right, so that time, at about 5:30, I'm on a sidewalk. There's already about 7 inches of snow of the dozen or 15 that are going to fall that night. And I'm pacing back and forth trying to get a tow truck and a cab, and police officers pull up, and I'm talking on the cell phone because the cabs are telling me it's going to be about an hour and a half to come get me, and so I'm just walking back and forth, and they finally come up and talk to me, and they ask me, have you been drinking? I said, sure. I've been drinking all afternoon. You know, I was very honest with them. They said, do you think you're too drunk to drive? And I said, yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm calling a cab. And they said, would you take a breathalyzer? I said, yeah, absolutely, I will. But I'm telling you, I've drank way too much. So they gave me the breathalyzer, and they said, you drank way too much, but we're kind of startled. You keep telling us all this stuff. I said, I'll tell you where my car is. It's over in the, you know, it's parked over there. It wasn't in the same parking lot as me. And they said, well, we think you've been driving. So They held me for, I guess, 3 or 4 hours while they were trying to sort that out. And, you know, my whole mission was to get down to Columbus, Ohio. I knew I wasn't going to drive anymore that day, but I was just talking to them. My arrogance had me talking to them like, hey, either way, give me a ticket or not. Just make sure that I can get out of here in time to sober up and get on my way down to Columbus. They obliged me finally. I think it was probably even after midnight. They finally said, well, we're gonna process you for a ticket. We're not sure if we're gonna give you one or not, but we, you know, we're gonna take your fingerprints and what have you, and then we'll let you go. And they were very nice. I mean, they even made sure that my car had a flat tire. They made sure that the tire was fixed. So I was on my way. I think 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't go to Columbus. I you know, came home, and I honestly thought, well, that's what I need. You know, that's what I need. I need, I needed to get caught, you know, because I've been pretty irresponsible with alcohol my whole life long. And, if I get a ticket for this, and even when I got some of the media attention, I thought, well, that'll be enough to keep me away from it. You know, I learned my lesson there. A lot of people have asked me, you know, that have looked into it, you know, including legal people, that said, why would you pay a ticket for drunk driving when the car wasn't, you know, you weren't in your car? And I said, you know what, in my alcoholic thinking, I thought that by paying the ticket, you know, that would be the fix, that I would never go back to it. And you know, I was wrong. I'm sure your next question's coming here. I was wrong. So I was in a learning process last year, Jack, and that was the first lesson. I could be honest about how kind of stupid I am.
Couple months later, April 10th, you were sentenced.
Right.
And then 2 months thereafter, on June 29th, mm-hmm. another episode.
Right. Well, what happened that day, you know, from my perspective was, you know, again, bad decision that turned out to be the gateway, though, to me moving forward in my life was, you know, I decided to drink. My wife was out of town, and so I had different drinks at different times, you know, throughout the day, but I can't talk too much about that right now because I don't know how many times the prosecutor is going to appeal the case that was dismissed. But what I can say is I went in, the police decided, you know, to come in my house. This is, you know, part of the public record. I was, you know, to the police, not visibly drunk. The officer testified to. And that they didn't have any right to be in my house. You know, that's by the police officer's testimony. So to this day, I'm still a little confused as to why they were in my house. But they decided to give me a ticket. And the prosecutor decided to prosecute me for the ticket. And that was later thrown out. But really what happened was this wild story makes its way into the newspaper. And I'd rather talk about the utility of that. The decision I made to drink that day was the thing that I did wrong. It was letting myself down. I went in and told the court that I was on probation with for the driving while impaired. I went in and I told that judge. He said, you don't have to answer any of my questions today because I understand there's another charge that may be brought against you for a possession of a firearm. And I said, that's okay. I'll tell you what happened. And I actually told him that day. This is in August after he said, don't incriminate yourself. I said, no, I let myself down. I let you down. I was dishonest to this court. And more importantly, I've been even dishonest to myself. I know that probably sounded a little weird, but and I've made a decision. I can see who I am clearly, and I'm taking this very seriously, and I'm taking these steps to move forward in my life. And the judge had mercy on me. He could maybe see something in me. I'm not exactly sure. I can't speak to him, but you know, I basically told the truth, and he allowed me to go forward with probation and put some stipulations in there that I was happy to comply with. But that is long gone and over with now. And you know, that's really when I started moving forward. And I did let myself down that day, and it did all kind of come crashing home to me. And the articles that came out of that, the publicity that came out of it, what was actually said about me, had nothing to do with what actually was going on. And that was when I first realized that the insanity of not addressing this honestly, not addressing it head on, all of my exits I had systematically cut off of my spin and excuses that I could have had to keep going forward in my life in an unhealthy way. And whether it was my marriage, whether it was my business, whether it was the reputation, whatever that means, of anything that I would have had from my career, and some relationships with friends, and on, I could keep going down the whole list, and it all, you know, was gone. I had to cancel all of my contracts because of what the paper said of me, what they described, or their perspective, what they thought happened. I knew preemptively just to call the people that were clients of mine and cancel the contract. So I left myself without any income, and my marriage and my business and everything else in as question marks. So it really was, you know, the turning point in my life with no safety net.
You now, Craig DeRoche, admit to a drinking problem since the age of 10. How did you hide it?
That's the insanity of these different addictions. You know, there's probably a lot of folks out there that you know, question why they go back to doing different things, or they think they have them managed, whether it's eating or gambling or cheating on a spouse or whatever it would be. And with me, I was one of those people. You know, I guess I would call it delusion and you know, self-deceit. You have to be that far removed from where you should be, in a healthy sense, to be able to continue living your life the way I did. And so I knew what I was very early. I tried to not drink when I was, you know, 10, 11, 12, particularly by the time I was 14. And so the rest of my life, I pretty much spent trying to stay away from it, because I knew it was bad for me and it would lead to bad things. And I always thought that my accomplishments, I guess, would overshadow that side of my life, you know, that there are two sides of my life. And that all came crashing home. And it was a lie to begin with the whole time. But for me, it took an extended time. People that have a lot of money, people that have a lot of success, people that have things around them that allow them to continue going in an unhealthy lifestyle, go a lot longer. That's what I've observed when I meet other people and I see other people. And the ones I pray for the most that I see that have addiction issues are the ones that have the most money, that have the most success, because it's going to be the hardest, I think, for them to find the humility to actually surrender and move forward in their life.
Speaking of surrender, a lot of people pray the serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And when we met over breakfast a few weeks ago, you had another version of that serenity prayer.
Yeah, I did. And it came to me from somebody I met as I was going through into different recovery things. And he sized me up pretty well. He says, I can tell that you're one of those guys that thinks too much. You know, you're probably thinking you're too smart for this. He says, can I help you with the serenity prayer? I said, yeah, because I've been saying the serenity prayer for years and years. I thought it was something that I could use to ward off drinking coming back into my life. And he says, let me say it for you the right way, and maybe it'll make more sense to you. He says, it should for you mean, God, grant me the serenity to accept that I can't change any person, place, or thing or circumstance in this world other than myself, the courage to change myself, and the wisdom to remember the difference. And it really brought it home for me, is, you know, that's what this is about. I can't go around trying to be the master of the world, the universe, and with my own behavior and try to allow external things to either control me or try to control them. What I can do is clearly see that I do need to change myself. That will take courage, and it's going to take wisdom for me to discern what I should be doing to change myself every day, and what I can do, and to ask for the strength to do that every morning, and to accept the things that I cannot change.
We're talking to Craig DeRoche, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now, back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Craig DeRoche, former Speaker of the House, who now admits to a drinking problem since the age of 10. Craig, I admire you for the transformation in your life and for how God's using you in your life. Tough question. Stacy and the three daughters. How have you gotten over hurting them and letting them down?
Well, that is a tough question, Jack. And I guess I got to tell you that, you asked me how I've gotten over it, if I heard the question right. And, I guess getting over it is part of life and moving forward. Really, what happened after last summer, particularly with Stacy being out of town while this occurred, is, for the first time in my life, I didn't try to explain what I did or what actually happened, the circumstances, because I knew that there wasn't any explanation. It wasn't really even about that night. It was about our relationship since we had met in the mid-90s. And how I've been trying to live my life since, I guess where it started, just to be specific, is I said, I'm sorry. And that's all I said. The old Craig, and you got to remember, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I'm also a recovering politician. And too often I brought that into our marriage, where I would try to explain things and sell her on ideas, my wife, Stacy. And this was the first time that I didn't. And I knew that I needed to set out in a different direction. And she's a strong, loving woman, but a very strong woman. She made it very clear to me what this meant to her. And it meant a lot. She was questioning everything. And I think by honestly focusing on changing myself rather than explaining what I was to do has moved us forward in our marriage in a healthy way. And we made the decision as parents to be very open with our kids where it was age appropriate. At 10 and, well, they're 10 and 7 now, but they were 9 and 7, to enroll them in a wonderful program that Brighton Hospital puts on with the Betty Ford Clinic, which we've had, both of us have had alcoholism in our family for generations. And we made the decision that they have the age-appropriate classes. It's the right thing to do to bring them in on what's actually occurring. So maybe we can break that cycle and they won't expose themselves to this disease.
Craig DeRoche, if there's a listener tonight that says, Craig, I'm you, but I haven't been caught and I won't be caught. I'm smarter than you.
Winning. Isn't that what Charlie Sheen says? Winning. You know what? It hurts really, really bad when you get caught, but it isn't the embarrassment of the newspapers. It's the fact that you've destroyed everything that you've built up. And what hurts even more than that, Jack, is the time that you've wasted. Once you get a taste of living your life differently and healthy, I don't regret any of it because, you know, there's a lot of people that live their lives comfortable all the way from start to finish, and they never have a crisis that brings them closer to God, to where they surrender, where they change their life. So I consider this a blessing that I didn't have to waste any more time. But for those people, I would say you have no idea what you're missing, and I know how hard it is. You think you're the only person in the world, whether you're a high-ranking politician and Speaker of the House, or you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, or you're prominent in some other way, or you're a single mom and you're worried about your ex-husband who's a jerk who's going to come take away your kids if you admit to what you're struggling with, or your wife is going to use it as an excuse to leave you, and all these other things that race through your head. And I can only tell you that we can describe all these things that you've done in your life with words, because for them to have words, that means a whole bunch of people have done them before you. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a word for it. So there are people that can talk to you, and that's what the 12s organization, 12s.org, is actually for. It's for peer-to-peer video sharing at dailymessage.tv as well as peer-to-peer. So a single mom can get connected with another single mom. An elected official can talk to an elected official, somebody they think would understand. The moral of the story is that everybody that suffers an addiction and these problems has the exact same things going on in their life, but it's hard for them to realize that until they actually talk to someone they can relate to and share life stories and actually see their way out of the woods. It takes other people. It's very, very difficult, if not impossible, to do it on your own.
If there's a listener that says, Craig, my life is ruined. I've lost my family. You know, my Stacy didn't stay with me. I've lost the job. The addiction controls me. I don't know how to forgive myself, and I'm thinking of suicide.
You know, I've had those conversations with people that have reached out to me, and you know, the same story goes, that there are things that I can help other people with from my life experience, where if they heard me describe what I went through, they would relate. I want to be able to help someone else get connected with someone else who's been at that door. I mean, I do the best I can to talk to people, Jack, but you know, maybe somebody would be better off if they talked to somebody else that considered suicide when it's been 2, 3, 5, 20 years later and they talk about what's happened in their life. I can talk about some pretty horrific things and pressures that have been applied to me and the depth and scope of the embarrassment of being on CNN and the Fox News channel described as a crazy person and how you fight your way back from that. But that's only going to relate to some people. Other people are going to want to talk to folks that have contemplated suicide. But I've tried to be there, and I've tried to push people out. That's part of growing. In what I'm trying to do in my life is helping people out actually helps me outgrow each day.
Craig DeRoche, talk about pride and ego.
How long's this segment, Jack? You've got me sized up pretty well. Yeah, maybe it's the politician thing. You know, I can be honest about that stuff now. Man, I was a big, you know, if I was a ball of twine, I'd be the second biggest ball of twine in this side of the Mississippi, my pride and my ego. And a big part of being able to deal with that is being able to recognize it for what it is and find that humility. And like I said, for me, and maybe it, unfortunately it's this way for other successful people or prominent people, man, you really, really got to be broken, shattered before you will... The pride has to be taken away from you where it's a good dinner table joke talking about your pride or your ego to where you'll actually let it go. It has to be taken from you first. But it's a silly trap, pride and ego. It's a silly trap. People out there want to love each other. They want to help each other out. They want other people to succeed, but they sure don't like the people that are full of pride and ego trying to walk over the top of their heads. And those are the people that don't have a lot of well wishes go their way. So,
we're talking to Craig DeRoche, who for the first time in his life has found true inner peace. And I commend you for it. And I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Craig DeRoche, former Speaker of the House, who now admits to a drinking problem since the age of 10. Craig, you're a free man. You're at peace. You've lost a lot of weight. A listener says, I want that. Craig DeRoche, how do I get inner peace?
Man, this is a deep one. Anything is possible. Anything is possible, and I'm glad to be on the show. I've lost this weight. I have successfully done a bunch of things in my life for long periods of time. I actually lost this weight for the last 2 years as I've been losing the weight. I don't have a discipline problem. That's a very important point that I want to make clear. I haven't drank caffeine since 1996 because I'm allergic to it. And I went to the hospital with an arrhythmia, and the doctor said, don't do that anymore, or you know, your heart will have a problem. So guess what Craig did? I stopped doing it. My doctor, again, years later, I think the next time I went to him was 2 years ago, because I'm generally healthy, and he said, you've got a really bad back problem, and you need to weigh what a human being is supposed to weigh. So I've set about going to weigh that amount. So being addicted to something and changing your life or having discipline and changing your life are two different things. So how do you want to be peaceful? How do you find peace is when you look inward at what actually is going on with your own self-will versus what you should be living for in this world. The Serenity Prayer means exactly what it was that I said, and in the fancier words that were written, you can't change anything else in the world other than yourself. So if you set about the course of changing yourself, the hardest thing in the world to do, and I, there's a bunch of different quotes about it. It's easier to go to war and to overthrow a city than it is to change yourself. So it's hard, but when you can do that, that's where the answers lie, is in changing yourself. So for me, losing weight, staying away from alcohol and other things, it's all been about changing myself. And with that comes this incredible, incredible peace and happiness and ability, just in general. You know, the people that I observe that have changed themselves, they're happier people and they're better people to be around.
All of us, Craig DeRoche, have flaws and demons. And we hide them.
Right.
You're doing the opposite. You've gone public, and you have this non-for-profit www.12s.org. Why go public?
Well, that was something that, you know, really, I guess, kind of occurred to me. I spent a lot of time in prayer early on and was trying to sort out what all this meant, because I'd given up on trying to run my life powered on my own self-will, because it was really running riot. And I just had this inner sense, this feeling that maybe the things that were done in my life weren't the things that I had pride, formerly a bunch of pride in my accomplishments in elective office. Maybe those weren't just done so I could run for higher office or qualify for something better in my life. Maybe I should be giving something back and using the stage and my life experience to reach out and help other people. And I really had a strong sense to do that. So I started sharing that with other people, and doors have started to open. And I'll be talking to plenty of the leaders around this area as well as around the country to try to move some of this forward, because I think I can help other people by being honest and being open. A lot of people can't be honest and open because their employment situation and a lot of other reasons wouldn't allow them the honesty that I can get away with.
Earlier talked about how hard it is for a person of power or wealth. Matthew 19:24. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.
Metaphors. I think a lot of people, I know that I'm one of them, said, oh, okay, I'm not a rich guy, so I don't have to worry about that, right? Isn't that how a lot of people read the Bible? They don't say, what does that mean? Thanks for pointing that out, Jack. I never even visited that. I just know that how bad I felt, you know, when I saw Charlie Sheen flailing around with some of the things that he was saying, and I've seen other high-profile people, you know, locally in other areas, and I know how hard it was for me. I know how hard it was, and you know, I wish I could connect them with where I connected without doing the painful things that I had to do to get there. But it is difficult, and it will remain difficult for them, and apparently it's been difficult for all of time.
www.12s.org. Father John Ricardo has a prayer that he says many times a day. I can't, you can, please do.
That has to come from the inside of your heart. That's again, being a politician, my prayers have too many words in them, but I'm going to remember that and say that, and anyone listening should. But it isn't just saying it. You've got to, that's got to come from inside your heart. I can't human nature would have you believe that, well, I'm going to say that, but that's not really true because I'm the one that earns this money and I got to drive the car and I'm the one that's got to get my kid to preschool this morning. No, I can't. You can. Please do. You have to come to a point in your life, and that's why a lot of people like me have to be broken first, where you believe you can't, and that you need a higher power. You need the help in your life, and that the second part of that is that you need to be willing to accept it and go in the direction that leads you versus where you are trying to go in the first place. You know, God is not a candy machine. Where you say, I'd like the lemon heads, please give them to me, that's all I want. It's a far different perspective. So that's a neat prayer that you just said, Jack.
Craig DeRoche, in listening to Joel Osteen this morning, he said, and I quote, God is much more interested in where we are going than in where we've been. What does that mean to you, Craig DeRoche?
I believe that, and I love Joel Osteen, and listen, I believe that when you see people talk about miracles, they talk about different things that God does, and to me, a lot of times they say it was a miracle that he did. You know, he picked the car up and, you know, brought it over that lady's leg and pushed the car out of the way. It was a miracle that he did. No, it wasn't. A miracle is usually something that has been done that defies nature and brings us closer to God in a factually understanding his role of what he wants us to do in this world. And what Joel's saying is kind of along the same lines, is that if your future is to be all that it can be, it's not from you. It's what God's plan for you is in the future. And your past doesn't mean all that much. It just is accumulation of things to bring you to this place that he wanted you to be.
Craig DeRoche, as our time winds down this evening, what advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
The advice to the young listeners, without being judgmental, I'm not one of those people that's going to tell you to just say no or be naive about these different things. You're going to be exposed to a lot of things. And you need to know that they're very dangerous, and when and if you get yourself wrapped up in whether it's drugs or alcohol, just to remember that there's a lot of good people out there that can help you, and for parents to understand that the best thing you can be doing is talk to other parents that have had this happen with their kids to get their advice to bring you through it, because the kids are going to have to learn it. It's not something that can be taught by their parents. It's going to be taught from professionals. It's going to be taught from peers that have already been brought through it. But the best answer is to just to try to stay away from it, if you will. But as we said in the start, you're not going to be perfect. So the message is the same for anything that gets in your way in life. It's look to God, look to friends, and try to move your life forward.
Craig DeRoche, God has really blessed you in many ways, one of the biggest being Stacy and your three daughters. In turn, he blessed all of us in Michigan with what you did for us as the Speaker of the House, and much more importantly, what you're doing for all of us now. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Jack.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.